Hey there, Lions fans. Randy and Rich here with you.
Hey.
The M66 North Detroit Lions podcast.
What's happening?
And, coming to you from the woodpile. Well, before we got to the woodpile, we had to stop at the beer store for some Oberons, because it's...
Oberon season.
Yeah. Even though it's still...
So we kind of got stuck here in the cooler on our way to the woodpile.
It's cold here, it's cold there, which lends itself well for cold beer.
Yeah, at least the Oberons are cold.
Yes. And hopefully those of you that are abroad know what we're talking about. What's this Oberon stuff? Bell's Brewery in Comstock, Michigan.
Comstock?
Yes, which is next to Kalamazoo there.
Okay.
Was it 1984 or something when they started?
I don't know. They only make it once a year, and when it comes out, you better grab some because it goes fast. That's all I know.
Well, it's a summer thing, and once they stop brewing somewhere around, I suppose, August, and then they sell out and stop making it during the winter months because it's a good summer beer. For y'all boaters.
Yeah, I'm not much of a beer drinker, and the rest of my circle here will contest to that. I very unlikely Randy's going to drink more than one beer. Yeah. You know,
and it's actually it is quantified as an American wheat ale, not just
If you got gluten issues, that ain't gonna work for you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It ain't gonna work for you.
Yeah, and if you have gluten issues, you probably already know that.
You're probably not drinking much beer. So, but yeah. Who will be drinking a lot of beer is Josh Reynolds. You know, not to get off kilter here a little bit talk about football things, but
he could drink it if he is a drinker.
He got enough money,
$7 million worth.
Well, up to 14 for 2 years. Josh Reynolds is not coming back, and. I know Rich wants to go in a different direction as far as what we start out about.
No. Well, I mean, as far as our first real topic.
It can take us
10 minutes to get to the real topic.
I know, but it's true. For the first time in a long time, we agree on something in the draft. Is this year, our first round draft pick, we both agree, should be an offensive lineman.
I think we were talking last week. It's corner or offensive line. Whether we trade up or trade down, I think it's still going to be offensive line or corner.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's more so
with the first pick. Yeah.
Center guard center, because that's the guy that I mean. A couple guys fit that bill. One guy we'd probably have to move up to get. But next guy in line, Zach Frazier. I mean, right now, is it Cooper Beebe?
Yeah.
And, who fits better, And I think it's Zach Frazier at this point, I'd love to see, what is it, Powers Johnson?
Powers Johnson.
I think I would love it if Detroit got him. But I'm afraid they're going to have to give up draft capital and move up to get him, because I don't think he would fall to Detroit at 20. I know he won't fall to Detroit at 29.
You always get that, you never know.
Yeah, nobody thought Sewell was going to fall to us. Except
us.
Right.
We were, holding our breath, so... Yeah.
Hutch, give or take on that, And
the beautiful thing is that over half the teams in the league make mistakes all the time. And if you're not one of those teams, then you're doing something.
Like Seattle did with Witherspoon last year.
that was they.
They
got
made
it right.
The right choice.
They got it right.
They got it right. You
I
know?
Think so. You know, he got hurt a little bit, but you know he's a good kid.
Well, I think Detroit did pretty good too. You know.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They got out of Dodge and made the best of it.
Exactly. And
yeah,
and
got it, four starters.
You can always plan on a on Brad Holmes having a plan B. You know, if plan A don't work, then you got to have something to fall on. And I guarantee he's got a plan B, plan C, plan D.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because, you know, like, there's Graham Barton. He'll probably be gone. Jackson Powers Johnson probably be gone. But then it's... But now, actually, what I've been seeing this week is more... Like Zach Frazier falling to the second round, and Jackson Powers Johnson actually being available at 20.
Well, if that's the case, then you know, hip hip hooray! You know,
you know, it's because I mean they're fighting over these receivers, they're fighting over the tackles,
and I hope five quarterbacks goes in the first 10
they're
picks.
They're fighting over quarterbacks,
you
right?
know. So you know,
JJ McCarthy, you know, it's like he's going to go before the Giants at six.
Oh, my God. You know, who did I see that was, like, really hell-bent on J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, Minnesota and the Giants are
Giants?
Like, too big.
Was it Giants?
In New England, it could be. And they're saying, well, you know, it's that.
Carolina?
No, they already have their quarterback at the moment. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. For worse or for better. But
speaking of J.J. McCarthy, there's been a lot of talk this week about
season.
You know, we haven't really seen what he is because they're basically, you know, Michigan was a running team. Yeah, he was a quarterback on a winning team, but he really didn't have to do a lot of passing, you know. And then he kind of skipped his pro day. Well, he went to a pro day.
Yeah.
And
he had his pro day and kicked ass.
And to
but it's a pro day,
but,
you should.
But to these scouts, you know, pro days are no big deal. That is not, like, it's not necessarily
right.
relevant.
Well,
you know?
His old coach said it was the best
pro day
ever.
They're not buying it, you know. and if, you know. Yeah, and I'm not buying it either. You know, I don't necessarily think J.J. McCarthy belongs in the first round. I really don't. And but you know, hey, you know.
I mean, that's that it, he's going to be regardless, right? I mean,
right, you know, but I guarantee you his ex-coach won't pick him, you know.
Well, he doesn't need him.
Well, that's not my point. You can always have a backup, you know, so.
Well, you know, you not it, with the fifth pick in the draft, you don't, you know. Yeah, you're going to sit my fifth pick in
like
the
I
draft
said, I
four
I hope
years.
There's five quarterbacks taken in the first 10 or picks, you know.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I don't.
Then I hope there's five running backs.
Yeah.
And then I hope there's.
Well, there's no running backs, unfortunately.
Yeah. I just as long as there's offensive linemen available.
Seven tackles, six or seven wide receivers, four quarterbacks, right? So you're up to 18 already.
Yeah, and if they're going to move
edge
up.
Edge players, like, put you at 21.
Like I said last week, if Detroit's going
to
move up, I don't see them.
22.
I don't see them moving up any farther than 20, you know?
And that's where the, like, last year, everyone knows that Brad Holmes, like, said they had 14 players with first-round grades.
Right.
And from what I gather, like, 14 is low, right? But as far as, like, on a yearly basis... It's like 16 or 17. So 14 being low, it's like not like ungodly low.
Right.
It's just
yeah.
like a couple it's players, right?
And, right.
And so this year, is it going to be 15, 16, 17, 18? If you get to 20 players with first round grades, it's that, I guess, is a lot. Right?
Right.
And so, but last year, Branch was one of the 14 that Brad had, and he was available at 43. So, right? So, do they have to trade up to 20 to get one of their first round graded guys?
Yeah, see, and the same thing happened with Amon-Ra St. Brown. They got him in the fourth round.
Yeah.
They had a first round grade on him.
You would think, you know.
Yeah.
He was our first wide receiver in the second round. He was our...
Oh, second round?
Yes, we had him second round grade. Yeah, he was our first wide receiver, basically. We didn't want one in the first round.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. All right.
So we had that one right, if you care.
Nah, I don't care. As long as they renew his contract this year, I don't care. You know, and right? I just think that Amon-Ra St. Brown is a giant cog in this team's ability to function. I really do.
Yeah.
And it, not just the team, but the offense for sure, you know?
Yeah.
And which would reflect on the rest of the team because they play off. I mean, like when Craig Reynolds made that hit, heard around the world, you know, that like it just electrified the team, you know, the whole entire team. And
it was awesome.
It was.
The whole league in Good Morning Football, you know, everyone loved
that.
Yeah,
I watched that shit all fucking day long, you know, the next day.
Yeah.
Big time, you know, so.
And it was still cool on that play. I got to mention it, too, that J-Mo was in on that play, had a chance to make a block, but didn't because it was potentially a block in the back.
Right, exactly.
And he turned and sped off to hit someone else, and everything worked out.
Yeah, it did.
And so making a penalty is just as important.
Well, that just goes to tell you what football smarts is all about. Yeah. You know, he saw an opportunity to block a guy in the back and knew better, you know, and just didn't do it. You know, a young player probably would have just done it anyway.
Right.
And you know, just you know, sometimes it's...
Even a veteran. Veterans will do it. You know, they just see guy, hit guy.
So, sometimes it's a lot easier to, you know, ask for your coach for forgiveness than permission. So, you know.
Yep.
And
best to do neither. Yeah, and just get exactly, away with it.
You know, and that comes with maturity. And J-Mo showed that in his first year, and that's my point about drafting intelligent football players. You know, guys with football intelligence that knows what you can do and what you can't do. Yeah. You know,
back to Reynolds. You know, it's definitely. They kept Peoples Jones.
Yeah, they brought him back.
So, and then Josh got his job. So it seemed like they pretty much knew Josh was out
there. To me, Josh has nothing to do with Peoples Jones because Josh has everything to do with J-Mo. J-Mo coming out this year was probably going to limit Josh in snaps on the Lions team. I mean, I'm not saying that's true or not, but I'm just saying there's a possibility because that's where J-Mo's going. He's going to take over Josh Reynolds' spot. That's where he's going, on the outside, show his speed. And then they're going to move him inside every once in a while because he really works good out of slot. He at USC, that's what he was. He was the slot guy.
It's just everything at the end of the year there.
Or where was he? Alabama. Alabama wasn't USC. Alabama.
Yeah. Everything got with Khalif Raymond getting hurt and then having – Peoples Jones coming in, you know, only had been there half a season, and it took him a while to get up to speed.
Well, it took him a while to gain Jared Goff.
J-Mo was coming on and finally coming into his own and doing crossing routes and this and that and not just, you know, a couple things here and there and sweeps and whatnot. And then and Josh Reynolds, right? And so all these guys were playing all over. And which was great. It added to the randomness of the offense.
They're going
to
do that again this year, too. Yes. I mean, everybody's going to play everywhere. I guarantee it.
Yeah, but then it makes it hard to be like, well, this guy will be that, and this guy's going to be this, and this. It's like, Donovan Peoples-Jones is a big-bodied receiver that can play outside, that can play inside, and can do Josh Reynolds' job. So
he's not really that big, actually. I mean, he's
the biggest one we have.
Well, one of the biggest. Hang on a second. Let me get my wide receiver page here. Donovan Peoples-Jones is 6'2", 204 pounds, okay?
Yeah.
He's fast. He's 4'4", 8", you know, and only 25 years old. So he's really got a lot to learn. He's not really a big body guy. He's a route runner,
like a 900-yard receiver.
Right.
So he's got it.
What he did last year was gain Jared Goff's confidence, okay? He gained it little by little. He got, Goff got more and more confident with him, started throwing him more targets.
He caught more balls in the playoffs than Reynolds did.
So, well, yeah, and Josh had a bad game. Josh had a bad game, So,
yeah.
I don't, like I said, right now, Donovan Peoples-Jones and guy like maybe Dorrice Fountain, another guy, 28 years old.
Maurice is still around, too.
Yeah, Maurice. Alexander?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, but he's only 5'11", 174 pounds.
But he's on the receiver
list. Right, so, yeah.
And he's a bit of an outside guy in that.
We got a new guy, Tre'Quan Smith, too. 6'1", 210,
From Norris.
28 years old, still sub 4.5 speed at 4.49.
Yeah.
There's a little speed there. Right now the fastest guys we got are Khalif Raymond and Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
I hope
Raymond's okay. We don't really know the extent of his injury from the end of the season there.
He's 29 years old too.
Right.
He's still on the bright side of 30, but I don't know for how long. I mean, is he going to turn this year turn 29? That's my question.
Yeah, I think he's turning 30.
He's got another year with the Lions, and I'm glad for it because I think this team has gotten a lot. He's the only speed that we really have had, for the last couple of years.
And people think he's because of his height, that he's a slot guy, but he's an outside receiver of his speed, more of just an outside speedster. Where you can still have GMO that's doing all the
But nobody knows how fast Amon-Ra St. Brown really is. Yeah, he ran up 4.6.
He doesn't need to run a 40. So they're not going to see that. They're not going to
get
any sort of next gen stats.
When I saw that. Oh, that's right. He didn't really run it, did he? He just went half assed. I think he even borrowed a pair of shoes to do it or something like that.
No, that was Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
I thought that was J-Mo,
actually. But. I know. J-Mo got done running his 40. He goes, I could have gone faster.
Yeah. So it was what's his name?
My point is though is since Josh Reynolds got
signed
in Denver for a 2-year contract worth $14 million.
Yeah, good
that kind of leaves Detroit. They were hoping and praying that they could bring him back, and it didn't happen. So now I kind of think they're on the hunt for a wide receiver, whether it's in free agency. Do they want to pay money for a wide receiver, or do they want to go in the draft and draft a guy early that can start, and that's what I think. I think second round. If they move back out of number 29 and they get a bunch of second rounds and maybe another third round pick, to do so, then fine. You take a wide receiver and a cornerback in the second round, or you know, and yeah. And
I mean, I love the trade back thing, you know, even more so than usual, because the
it depends
the guy,
on what
the guy at 29 quite. If you're sitting at 29, you probably have like six guys that you could take, well, and one of them or more will be available like 10 picks later if you trade.
Well,
out,
that's my point. You know, depending on what's available, it will probably determine whether you move back or not. You know, it's like if like it gets, but if you say like if Peoples Jones fall or not or the. Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
If he falls to Detroit at 29, they're not going to move back.
I mean, you got to love a guy whose first name is Jackson.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose.
Yeah.
But I just think that the offensive lineman is where Detroit is strongest at last year and this year, and I believe that they want to build on that for the future. And
yes.
So that means you need to keep your first rounders, you know, offensive linemen, to keep the contracts and the money down. You know, you're not going to, if you're going to spend money on left tackles in the early rounds, you're going to pay for it, you know, but not as much as you would, you know, for a cornerback or a quarterback or a running back, you know, like we got to pay J-Mo, like we got to pay LaPorta, like we're going to have to pay, you know, those guys all in the same, damn near all the same time, you know, so.
They'll make it work. And
well, they will. That's why we got Mike Disner, you know. In Disner we trust.
We know their base of operations really revolves around the offensive line. And right now that's... Looking into the future, those are the expiring.
Those are the picks that are due. They
bodies,
need to start thinking about future offensive linemen.
Yeah, so it really kind of doesn't matter if it's a tackle, a center, or a guard.
It kind of does this year.
You feel like it does, but yet, like Ragnow's only 26.
Hang on, I got that too. Ragnow, 27.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's the saddest part of this whole thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we should be looking at him like, we got him 6 more years.
No, we don't, because the injury he has in his foot is unrepairable. And,
it
hurts all the time.
That's why it's the saddest thing on the whole team.
He decided he's going to go one more year, you know, but I'm thinking if they, you know.
Yeah.
Rich is hoping for 2. I think Detroit's hoping for 2, but no. His career is going to end quickly.
The fact that it's 27, you're like, 2 more years? Yeah, tops. 3 if you're, you know. Winning the lottery.
Right.
So,
but still, retire as the best center in the NFL ain't a bad gig.
No. Especially if they win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Precisely. Now, I don't see him coming back if we win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think he will retire, which means you really do need to draft his replacement this year so he can have this year under his wing tutorage.
Last episode, we ended in our usual... frantic and argumentative
banter.
Selves, yes, about the contracts and the fact that Zeitler is a 1-year contract on the right side, but then you want to draft a right guard, but it's a right guard center, you know, someone to back up Glasgow or Ragnow.
Well, you got Swartz all over there too. Don't forget that.
Right? Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. But to me, maybe he's a career backup, which is not a bad thing, you know. And so if you are drafting a guy in the first round, you want him to start. Now, does he end up being a center? Even though he's a right guard and a center, then he's a center and Sorsdahl is a right guard. That is fine. I would love that. Next year, right, Zeitler retires. But yet, and he's another one, like... We win a Super Bowl this year, probably Zeitler and Glasgow are or Ragnow, sorry, Zeitler and Ragnow are
probably both gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we know Decker's going to get another contract. But then that if might happen. Don't
win the Super Bowl, maybe they're both back. Does Zeitler, then he's like, I'm only 35. I'm in good health. I play every game every year.
Right, but you can't say that Zeitler will retire. You thought he would, when Baltimore didn't want him back, you thought maybe he might retire. Oh, they would have taken him. Oh, they would have. Well, he made the Pro Bowl last year. Yeah. So maybe there was that one. Maybe Detroit did give him a little bit more than what was offered.
Yeah.
And so who knows,
They pulled him away.
Yeah. So, who knows?
But maybe he may have been the oldest guy on their line. I'm not really sure.
True. But let's not forget that we do have guys that are in tutelage here, guys like Nice. And Galvin.
And Alasica.
Muti. Alasica. Alasica's
the left side. He's going to go behind Glasgow.
He's been there, done that, So
Glasgow's got a 3-year contract. Or 2-year.
No, it is 3-year. No, you said 3-year, didn't you?
Yeah, I was wrong on the other contract, not.
Yeah,
not
I think Glasgow's. Todd, my friend Todd, I think he told me it was 3 years.
Yes, we all assumed it'd be 2, but it's 3.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. We thought 2.
There's an out, even whatever.
Year probably could be voidable if need be.
Yeah, it's you can get out without a lot of dead cap, right?
Exactly.
So,
you can't forget that these youngsters. I mean, the new guy here, Moody. I don't know where he came from, but he's only 25. Farnoik, he was on the team last year. He's only 26. Galvin, undrafted free agent from last year, only 25. Nice, he's 26. Another rookie, or so to speak, developmental guy, has been right on along, And then who can forget what's going on with Dan Skipper? He's been with Detroit for on and off all for...
Signed a 1-year contract.
Yeah.
Last year he had he was under contract and they still let him go and then brought him back. And so, I don't know. Yeah. And he seems like a big piece.
Well, I think so.
Like, he's been around so long. Well, and now all of a sudden it seems like he's solidified, right?
Well, he plays tackle and he played guard last year. Yeah. They moved him inside on the left side. And he played tackle when Decker went down for a little while. And then they bring him in on the jumbo package and play on the other side.
Yeah.
Like
you say, 6'9", 330, right?
6'9", for sure, yeah. Yeah, 330 is what I got here. Yeah. He's 29 years old.
He wears that 330 very well.
Yeah, he's 29 years old.
Yeah.
But he's an offensive lineman, Look how old Zeitler is, 35. So yeah. You could have Dan Skipper for another 5, 6, 7 years.
It took him a while to get good. It took Skipper.
That's what developmental players are, offensive linemen. Tommy will drill this in your head, until you're dead. It's like, your offensive linemen, they go longer than any other freaking... player on the team,
It can take longer to get there.
These guys, but they could still have 15-year careers,
And they're plus. Effective while they're there. So that's the thing, too. Center, guard, tackle. I really don't care.
You need to, though, because they have to have the particular fundamentals.
Well, that's the thing. It's Zach Frazier, center, guard.
From what I understand, he is the best fit. He is the best fit.
He could be a second rounder.
Than Powers Johnson.
Yeah. Troy Fontenot from Washington, tackle, guard, center. Later rounds, Isaiah Adams from Illinois is a left guard, a right tackle, played left tackle for one game only because the left tackle got hurt, right? And he did well. So he can be either side, inside, outside. Cooper Baby, right?
Well, your point is this is a really good It's a really good year for offensive linemen.
It is. And versatile guys. And right. Guys that can play inside and outside.
I agree.
You know? Can't come away from this draft without one of these guys, right?
Well, maybe you shouldn't.
Maybe even two of them.
Well, that's where Detroit probably is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of tackles that they're going to go first, you know, six.
But we're not looking for tackles.
Exactly.
We're looking for guards.
Yeah, so hopefully Graham Barton, Jackson Powers,
guards and Zach center, Frazier, center guards.
And get knocked down a bit. And Christian Haynes, second rounder. Gosh, even like Tyler Guyton, who's a tackle, right? He played defensive end. He played tight end. He played halfback. He's played right tackle, played left tackle. If you want maybe you want a swing tackle, you know, maybe that's what you get.
Well, and that's what Dan Skipper is.
Then you get like Tanner Bartolini, the Wisconsin center guard, in the third, trade back into the fourth round and get that then, you know.
Right, I get that, you know, but you got to understand how important that fifth-year option is. You know, if we didn't have the fifth-year option
less important.
Yeah, but if we didn't have the fifth-year option on Penei Sewell, his contract would be due this year. We'd have to give him a contract this year.
Right.
And not next year.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so
they may have already shorted it up at that point, if you know.
Right, but I'm just saying, without that fifth-year option, our cap would be kind of stressed a little more, so we wouldn't have been able to do that, everything that we've done this year.
Yeah, it'd obviously be a whole different math problem.
Right, exactly. Not to say that they couldn't do it,
right.
But it's just better
it would have been
this year
different planning
to hold off on giving Penei his contract until next year or his extension, because I'm sure it's going to be a life. It's going to be a bunch of money, folks. You know, don't kid yourself about that.
Right.
Penei's going to get a lot of money.
He'll be deserving.
Yep, big time.
Yeah.
So yeah. Penei ain't going nowhere, and Decker's not going anywhere because we think he's going to probably get a 2 or 3 year extension.
Yep.
You know, Ragnow, you know, yeah, 1 year, and he may be gone, you know, could be two.
Yeah, we discussed it.
Zeitler, same deal. He could come back depending on how healthy he is and how good of a season he had.
Yeah. Ragnow and Glasgow, I think is how it's supposed to be. He should stick around for two of the three, right, is, you know, at least. And you've got some backups there, Awosika and Sorsdahl at the moment, you know, behind Zeitler.
Right now you'd have to say that backup job is Awosika's to lose. I mean,
yeah,
we'd have to say that, you know, but I think they're going to. They're going to draft one early and one late.
Yeah,
you know,
it really feels that way.
Yeah, one guy to hopefully get in there ASAP, and another guy to get in there like, you know, as a developmental player.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe even bring in another one with the undrafted free agent stuff. You know, so
yeah, it's hard to know who, like, which tackle is going to make a good swing tackle, right? A guy that can play behind,
right? But I think that's why Dan Skipper's there. You know, he plays both sides, and he's jumped inside. And then he plays that jumbo position. I see him as a
jumbo guy, and as an extra lineman, you know, the 6'9" next to Sewell, you know.
But he's played as the left side more so than anything.
No, you know,
He replaced Decker when Decker went down.
Right.
Okay, yes. and then
when they bring him in on a special play, he comes in.
Well,
yeah,
it's the extra side. It comes over there on the other side as the tight end position,
right,
as an extra blocker in the jumbo position.
Yeah.
But I'm saying is last year, not only did he play for Decker at that left tackle spot, but they also moved him inside to guard.
Yeah, they did.
because they had nobody else to put there. Yeah,
that was the season before.
And he did really well. The PFF had him at a very high score. But
the thing is, usually your swing tackle isn't a 6'9", 330-pound dude running back and forth. You know, it's your swing tackle dude.
Sewell, okay? With anything that happens to Decker, Sewell moves over to the left side.
Well, it...
You know, and then probably Skipper on the other side, or...
You're talking three or four tackles. Do you want four tackles, or do you want three tackles, right? If you only want three tackles, you don't need to draft one.
Well, I think we do.
Have to find a reason for that dude to be on the field.
Well, it doesn't have to be on the field if he's on the practice squad, you know.
Well, then you're talking sixth or seventh round, so he doesn't get poached.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
All right. You know, I told you, one early, one late. You know,
I got 20 guys that I want. None of them are
you don't have to pick them in the sixth round either. You take them in the fifth. Right. You know, we don't have a fourth rounder.
I'm not good enough in the draft to know what a sixth round swing tackle is going to be. Right. I got 20 guys.
Yeah, and that's what you should go by right there.
Yeah,
I'm kind of scattershot here when it comes to the draft because I do so bad at predicting, but I can see, you know, there's some things that, you know, I like to talk about, you know.
I shouldn't say that. I think Delmar Glaze from Maryland, he's probably sixth rounder. Played left tackle, right tackle. But still, you know, I don't know, you know, how, you know, he's a six-rounder.
Right.
You know, so.
I listen to a lot of podcasts and watch a lot of stuff on YouTube there's a lot of different names out there and a lot of different ways to put them, you know, but I kind of give up on trying to predict any of that shit because... You know, Brad Holmes is completely different than what we've been watching for the last 30 fucking years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm not going to try and predict what he's doing because, you know, he's cooking. You know, he's like in the kitchen. Don't stay out of his way.
Well, like you say, names, right? And Mel Kiper, his latest mock draft has Roger Rosengarten from Washington, right tackle, going to the Lions.
Move inside as a guard?
No, just I'm not really sure exactly what his reasoning is. But that's a name that no one else has in the first round, right?
Right. Well, let's be clear.
Is that just an exercise, you know, in the next mock draft that Mel Kiper puts out won't have Rosengarten in the first round?
Well, let's be clear. You know, we need a center guard more so than we need a tackle.
Right.
We are pretty decent at tackle, you know. I'm not saying we're great. I'm just saying we're pretty decent.
We're great. Yeah.
You know, we're pretty decent at tackle.
Young depth is a problem if you want to look at it that way, but center guard, is where we're focusing, right? I think.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I mean, it's...
That's like Powers Johnson, right. You know, and Jack Frazier.
A guy like Dominic Pooney from Kansas, tackle, guard, center. And if you get a guy in like him in the third round, you put him in, you got him for 4 years... Figure out which position's best. Yeah, right, you got four years to find a center, a guard, a tackle.
In the second round,
third round probably.
Second, third round.
Yeah.
4 year contract.
You know, and if he's, I think your third if he's year got, guys get... if some of these guys, you know, they've got experience at all levels. Maybe he's played tackle in college. Maybe if he's a, you know, got tackle, guard, and center experience, maybe he's probably just going to stay inside at the pro level, right? But at the same time, you don't need him to play tackle all the time. If he's got experience and he's got the size, he can go out there to to get you through a quarter and a half to
finish regardless, a game, you know? Regardless of what they did in college, the tackle will play center guard, you know, and the guard will play tackle. They will get cross trained. They will get left side, they'll get right side tackle, they'll get guard, you know, whatever. Yeah.
And so much happens in practice that we don't
see. A lot of times
the media doesn't see.
They draft a guy as a tackle to move him inside to play guard because that's where he needs to be until he can get control of the speed of the game. And then you see what he can do on an island, at, you know, out there playing tackle.
Yeah.
And I think once you move a guy inside, you know, unless your name is Panay Sewell, you know, or Dan Skipper, you know, going back outside might be a little too much for guys who, you know, got drafted as tackles, you know.
Yeah.
So.
So many possibilities.
You know, and while we're on the offensive line, you know, I want to get your take on what's going on with our tight end boys here. We know Laporta is, you know, he's the starter, but Brock Wright is not on the roster that I can see. He went on the IR in January.
I think that's the only kerfuffle. You know,
kerfuffle.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's just throwing a wrench into the works.
Right on.
I think he'll be there.
I hope he's there because, 90. You started talking last week about why we would keep four tight ends, and I was arguing you about, you know, playing that fullback position retrospect with Rodrigo, you know. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that Rodrigo is going to be your starting fullback. What I'm saying is they're probably would have alternating packages for both guys. I see Zylstra being more so of a fullback, you know, than Rodrigo at 5'11", unless, you know, if you're going to give the ball to your fullback, I would rather have it be Zylstra. If you want somebody out there blocking, then I would probably prefer Rodrigo, you know. So, like I said, there are probably certain packages out there for both players to play, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah.
You don't want to telegraph your plays, you know. But, you know,
And the reason Rodrigo got the reps last year was because of Zylstra's injury.
Correct.
So, you know, the same thing could happen again.
Right, but it's cross-training. It's cross-training.
He's already cross-trained.
Well, with special teams, you know, and that's...
Well, and fullback. He got the cross-training last year, so he's already there, to your point.
That's
right?
What I'm saying, is like... Is, you know, if Zylstra goes down again, you know, well, then, you know, Rodrigo's there to take over. But I just kind of wondering if Ben just got a little more creative with that, with Zylstra and Rodrigo, you know, in that fullback position. Because Crosby's not on, or what's his name?
Nelson? He's not.
No, not Matt Nelson. No, the fullback, Kabinda. Kabinda's not on the roster.
He's not on the roster either.
I can't find him anywhere.
No,
you
he's
know?
Gone, yeah. He gone.
So, you know, where...
Unless
he comes back. Yeah. We really have no fullback except Rodrigo. Proven, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Shane Zylstra can do it. I'm pretty sure.
All of the tight ends can do it. Mitchell.
You know, H-back. An H-back position. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know... To me, that it should be more so Zylstra than Rodrigo, and I wasn't arguing last week for the saying that no, Rodrigo's your starting fullback. No, that's not what I was saying. I was saying
we were talking about roster spot and at the time, and I was like, well, if you're gonna, you know, even have packages for Rodrigo. That's less of a reason to have a fourth tight end, right?
True.
To me, the only reason you use Rodrigo is an injury replacement.
Yeah, he's more of a blocker than he's going to be a pass catcher.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're not going to hand the ball off to Rodrigo.
No, of course.
But you would with Zylstra, and that's my point.
I wouldn't even use him as a blocker. I wouldn't take him away from the special teams, from the linebacking crew, and rooms.
Until there was an injury,
then I would put him in the tight end room.
But they did.
When there was an injury.
Well, but they did. That's the thing.
Exactly. And there will be an injury to the tight ends, right? At some point. If it's a game or two or whatever.
This just comes down to coaching. Dan Campbell is looking for an edge in any way he can. He's going to bring in a player. If that player is going to shock the other team and put him in a frenzy like, oh, no, what the fuck we do now? You know, that guy's not supposed to be there, you know. Hey, should we do this or that? Call a timeout, and that's what you want.
I could see that happening here or there. Yeah,
and that's the difference between Rodrigo and Zylstra.
I would put that in more of the special play or you know kind of thing where. It's not a package that you're going to use throughout the season, but it's a gotcha play.
Putting Rodrigo and Laporta in the backfield at the same time.
Yeah. You know? Like out of control.
Right. You know, what the fuck are we going to do with this shit, you know?
You're going to see it once.
Yeah.
Or not at all.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
Right.
So...
And J-Mo goes back to take the pass, right? To take the snap and throw a pass, right?
So, Goff. I'm going to take that, all this, into the kickoff rule change, right? Because this allows for more special teams ability being necessary. And
you're going to have to explain this because I kind of got it. I heard a little bit about it, but I didn't quite catch it all.
So they're kickoff from the same place.
25 if it's on a kickoff, it's from a punt.
Well, it's not a punt. This is the kickoff. It's just a kickoff is the only thing they changed. And
where's it? From the 40, 45?
Yeah, I forget what yard line they kick off from.
I think it's 40.
It's like the 30 or 40.
Might have been the 35 last year.
Yeah, I think it's maybe it's the 40.
I think it's the 40.
Yeah, but the but it's only the kicker that's at the 40. The Lions special teamers will be on the opponent's 40.
Say what?
Yeah, so you're gonna have a line of guys on the 40, and then. The Packers or whoever will have a line on the 35.
Gross.
So the guys will be 5 yards apart.
Yeah. Right? So what they're trying to avoid is full run on hits.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be more like a run play, basically. You know, you get 5 yards separation there and then. Phipp is going to scheme his blockers or whoever the other coach's special team is going to have to scheme his blockers
I don't know if I like that or not. Well, kind of taking so, it. They want
to
rid
that. Well, there's more specifics to it, and there's no fair catch.
You
got to run it.
What if it goes in the end zone?
It comes out to the 30.
Gross.
Not the 35, like it used to be.
No, it was to the 25.
No, it was the 35. It's been the 35 for years.
On a kickoff.
Yeah.
That's because you're penalized.
Yes. And now the kicking team is penalized 5 yards less for a touchback. You got to start from the 30. And so they're trying to encourage run backs.
Right. They're trying to take away from
injuries
with the big head-on collisions at full speed.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
But you don't want to kill the game doing it.
No. And this is this is a way to keep the kickoff and the return game a part of the game.
Without taking it away completely.
And without injuries. With hopefully less injuries, right? Because what's happened in these last few years is there's less returns. And it's boring.
True. You know, it goes in the end zone. They take the freaking, you know, fair catch. It goes through the end zone. Yeah. They get it first and 10 on the 20 or whatever.
Yeah, and it was, if you caught it at the 15, the ball comes to the 35.
Right.
It was a fair catch, and you know, it's a 35. And that's no fun, right? So this, you get more snaps. You get more plays. You get more action.
I will put that decision of whether I like it or not on reserve till I see it.
And that's so, the thing.
We'll talk about it after the first game. We watched, or
it's
probably
exactly what the league did. They said, we'll talk about it next year and see if we want to keep it.
And we're going to know probably after preseason whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
So,
It's supposed to, especially with, you know, what happened with every team, and
right.
it's going to happen, and you get a lot of reps. And,
I mean,
and
what's the percentage on injuries that happen on the kickoff? Is that high?
It is. That's why that it's, as a play, the kickoff has a higher percentage of injuries, which is why they've been messing with it.
Right.
And yes, it went down, but that was because there was really no play.
Right.
It was just a touchback. And now the fact that there's going to be plays, there's going to be maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more a game because of run backs.
Right.
Back and forth from team to team. There will probably be more injuries. But maybe it's just a twisted ankle and it's not
a turf toe or something. Right.
You know,
and I don't know. It's like I'm old school. You know, I remember back in the day where clotheslines were legal. You know,
well, you didn't want face masks either. Right?
Yeah, that's how they used to tackle. Buy the damn face mask. You know?
Well, before there were face masks, you couldn't do that.
True.
Yeah. So you know, well now you can just get tackled by the face mask. I don't get those face masks out of there.
Yeah. Don't touch the face mask.
It's not part of the game.
Yeah.
So you know, rules evolve and the game changes. And
yeah, you're gonna agree, you're gonna disagree. You know, but you just. I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to reserve my judgment because I haven't seen it played this way. So we'll see what happens.
Another rule change was the if you throw the challenge flag and you get it right, you get a third challenge.
Get another challenge. I like that one. I do.
Yeah, but it's not infinite. It's not like,
no, you just do a one-time deal. You can have as many as three challenges in a game.
It just sucks.
Or is
when,
it two a half?
No, it's just three.
Just three?
Yeah. It just sucks when, you know, you're on your first series and you have to throw a flag and you get it right. You're like, fuck, I only got one chance left here. You know, it's three and three quarters
well,
to go.
What was it last year if you had two challenges? And you got them both right. You got a third one back, didn't you? It wasn't that last year.
Yeah, maybe
if you got
maybe
them
that's
both
how
right,
it was.
You got a third one, or you got to keep your second one. You had to get them both right.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I didn't check on how it differed from last year.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that wouldn't be much of a difference, but it's still different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I thought that's the way it was last year.
Yeah, now you've just confused me.
Yeah,
I just
it's
know what the,
not hard
what
to
the,
do.
I just know what the reasoning was for the new one, the
right.
new rule, and that if you get one
okay,
right,
stay
you get
tuned,
it back.
Folks. We'll get back with you on that one. Rich is going to do some homework. He'll get back with you on
Wait,
that.
Wait, you brought up the question. You figure it out. You got Google. I am
not into these rule changes. You know.
Yeah. Well, my whole point with the kickoff rule, or the reason I wanted to bring it up is because we were talking about the return game and and we've talked in previous seasons about, like, one of our arguments for a while was, like, I didn't want my number one receiver being a return man, because if he got hurt, you're out a return man and your number one receiver. But, like, right now, J-Mo, he's not necessarily the number one receiver.
No, but you know? He's going to be a starter this year.
Yeah, but if he could be the return man, I'd be okay with that.
I wouldn't, especially with the way these guys
aren't getting a running head start.
I've never been afraid of getting a guy hurt doing kickoffs. I mean, you know, I've never been afraid of, like, say, putting J-Mo or somebody like him out there. Put Jamar Gibbs back there. He's done this shit before, you know. Yeah. Put Craig Reynolds back there. Put him on Ross St. Brown back there. I don't care. Put him back there. I mean, you know. Yeah. You know, heck yeah, put Hutch back there, you know.
I ain't going to get you far.
Put Penei Sewell back there.
You know, you Skipper.
Why not? You know.
He's not fast.
No, you can't tackle 330 pounds unless you got, like, six guys piled on his back, you know?
Does he have to declare eligible? Yeah. I don't know.
You're getting back into rule changes. I don't know.
Yes. They did not change that rule. They did not alter. Yeah. I mean, how could you? You're either eligible or you aren't.
And yeah, well.
You either make a mistake as a ref or you don't.
Detroit's, they planned that very well, and it worked so well, it fooled the freaking ref, you know?
Right. It confused everybody.
It did, you know?
It confused one too many people.
They did it right, though. That's the thing. They did it right, and they got penalized for it.
It was supposed to confuse 53 men, not 54. 53 being the other team, right?
Right. And Campbell told them in their little meeting all about what they were going to do. And the guy that was supposed to take all the knowledge in was not at that meeting.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
But I think there's another rule change that needs to be changed, you know?
Yeah.
Just make sure that some of There's a meeting with the referees,
make it with all the referees.
All of them there. So they freaking know.
Yeah.
It's just another way to freaking kill Detroit's. Yeah.
But this rule change could affect how they draft, maybe. In the later rounds, maybe they want another running back that's got. That's not 200 pounds.
Well,
right?
I would think that they would want him to be 200 pounds and fast as hell. Maybe they've got that.
195 and fast as hell and 5'7.
Right. You know, who knows? Maybe they got that guy. You know, we do have a couple of new guys on the team. You know, there's a guy named Funk, Jake Funk, I think. Jake. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking ahead.
5'10, 205. That's not heavy. 205 is not big.
Under 200 pounds.
Well.
It's something different. It might be another wide receiver. It could be.
The only guy that we've got
Cooper DeGene.
That's under 200 pounds is Gibbs, and he's not. He's just 200 even.
Right, I'm just saying.
You know? Everybody else is over 200.
Like, Cooper DeGene is a big punt returner. Maybe with the new rules, maybe they can find a way to work him, and maybe they think, ooh, you know.
Right. Might as well, why not put, like, a defensive back to return kickoffs, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe Maurice Alexander is going to really come into
play. He's a wide receiver, though.
Well, yes, but he was a returner.
Yeah. I don't know why. He was. Holy shit, Rich, we only got 1 minute left.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay, we're going to have to end this.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we'll get into some DBs and wide receivers next week, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that.
We'll be back. So,
yeah, we're always back.
You better do this. You always never have enough time.
Never.
This has been.
Never, ever, ever.
Ever, ever. This has been.
The M66 North Detroit Lions Podcast.
Hey.
Randy and Rich.
That's us.
Sometimes other guys.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Tom, Todd, Rocky.
Rocky. Yep. Soon.
Soon. Yeah, yeah, they'll be back.
Yeah.
So will we.
Until then, watch for Dear One Pride.
You know, go Lions.
Go Lions.